question. Maybe I should have brought the Granta to read directly from it, but just in a general way, like further explaining these points of identification, etc. So Babaji Maharaj is quoting there from the different Shastras. There often there are quotes from Sahitya Dharpana, Vishnu, etc., or Bharatam, like that. So it's been explained that devotees, they do get inspiration or also understanding of different points that, for example, relationship, etc., from different kind of literature, and that they can also include in their experience or study or understanding that's related to devotional topics. So for they give example of some, say, mundane poetry and loving relationship that's been explained there, etc. So that then later, when they study Radha Krishna's related shastras, that these different points they can help in a certain way. So I just wanted
the connection.
Yes. So I just wanted to ask.
Yes.
Because often we also hear devotees say, yes, if someone is like really empathic person and previously had very good friends and deep relationships, etc. So even as a devotee, they can have personal relationships or like that. But if someone is not such a person, like that, then they are not able to easily kind of understanding or apply it in spiritual life. So just wanted to ask, because yes, it's understand, like the emphasis on this point, it's clear, it's understandable. But often we hear, is it just emphasized on the different points when we hear that, for example, devotional service is not dependent on anything like else, not even jnana, vairagya, etc.? So how, maybe someone could question, how is it that some other even mundane literature would be helpful in understanding the spiritual topic? Yeah. So to which degree, where is the line of, for example, I'm a devotee, but it's interesting, I study also other literature, that will help me. So it is just to justify that, you know, I like to study, or where is the line of really that it helps me for devotional service, and so where to find the balance or the line for this principle to work properly.
The example is there in Anti Lila, on the very highest level of devotion, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the dancing, when he was dancing in front of Brajendra Nanda and Shamsundar, Jagannath Ji, and Rathyatra, and he was reciting a mundane love poem, and about some lady, she now was married to some man, and then she's sitting down one time, and she's thinking, oh, actually, before we were married, we had an illicit relationship. And I met my future husband on the banks of the Rava River and under the Atasi trees on the banks of the river. In other words, we had a little party in the forest when I was a young girl, and we weren't married, and everything was so amazing and exciting and wonderful then. I long for those days. Now I'm married and it's so humdrum and boring, but I long for those days. Now I'm legally, lawfully married, and my husband's here 24 hours a day, this, that. But so Lord Chaitanya is seeing this, dancing down the street, and Pratya Puruja and other people, what's he talking about? He's supposed to be a Brahmin, he's supposed to be sannyasi, Brahmin, Guru, Acharya, Nimai Pandit, and he's singing some, you know, Bollywood movie song. How is this Bhakti Anukulya? So Rupa Goswami, because he's Bhav Tadatmya with Radharani, and now Shamsundara, Krishna is in Radha Bhav, so that Radha's Bhav is Mahabhav. So Gauranga Mahaprabhu is Krishna Sarupam, but he's in the Bhav of Radharani, and he's dancing in front of Shamsundara. So then he, in the mood of Radharani, is experiencing this Mahabhav. And Rupa Manjari, Rupa Goswami is dancing next to him, he's Rupa Manjari, so Rupa Manjari and Vrindavan Lilo is Bhav Tadatmya with Radharani. What is her needs? What is her feelings? So she immediately understands that he's saying this, but he's thinking, he's saying this, but he's connecting this lokic experience of mundane lovers with the transcendental lovers, Radha and Krishna. the lokic, the material, he's connecting to the spiritual. So he saw the bridge, he saw the link. And Lord Chaitanya, of course, was the Reva River was the Yamuna, and the Vaitasi was the Kadamba Kunj. And the lovers were Radharani and Jagannath, Shamsundar. Because it's very applicable also, because now Jagannath, you're in Dwarka Bhav. Now you went off to Dwarka. You're the same Jagannath, because this Kurukshetra Bhav, this Rath Yatra is in the Kurukshetra Bhav. And Kurukshetra Bhav, when Radharani gopis came from Vrindavan and met Krishna from Dwarka, they said, "Oh, you're the same Krishna, and I'm the same Radharani, but you have this Raj Vesh, you're wearing like a king. I can't relate." So this song is also kind of very, there's some parallel even to the lokic, has some parallel to the alokic, because Lord Chaitanya is saying, so Radharani is saying, "Oh, Jagannath, I remember when you were in Vrindavan as Brajendra Nandan Shamasundar, and under in the Yamuna, and you were my Priya, you were my dear one, and under the trees of the Yamuna we enjoyed, and now you went off and got married, and it's no fun anymore." So that idea, which was what Gauranga Mahaprabhu saw in this love poem that he studied when he studied Sahitya with Gangadas Pandit, when he was studying Sanskrit Sahitya and Vyakaran and all these, you know, Sanskrit literature and grammar and all these things from Gangadas Pandit, then he had to learn all these things. And Brahmins are intelligent, what to speak of God. So whatever they learn when they're young, he's 30 years old and he heard Gita verses when he was 5. So Lord Chaitanya, this came out because it was fully compatible with matching his ecstasy of Mahabhav. And then Rupa Goswami understood this means that. Then he recited, he wrote a verse and went back to his kutir, his siddhaboku, and he wrote a verse in Sanskrit. And there it talks Priya Eva, it starts off Priya Eva. And this is the verse. Well, first, since we're discussing this, and to hear these are the direct words of God, Gauranga. So my words are not so valuable, but the direct words of Bhagavan, like Sri Bhagavana Vacha, very valuable. So this is quoted by Rupa Goswami in Padyavali, a collection of poetry. And this is it's mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita twice. Once in Madhya Lila, chapter 13, 121, and Nanti Lila, 178. So this is the lokic kavi, the materialistic song or poem Lord Chaitanya sang in the ecstasy of Mahabhav while he was blissfully dancing down the grand road in Jagannath Puri in front of Jagannath Ji in the Rath Yatra. Yako mara harasa eva hivaras ta eva chaitra shapas te chon milita malati sarabaya prodha kadambanila sa chaivasmi tatapi tatra surata vyapara lila vido. Reva rodasi vetasi, Reva rodasi vetasi, tarutale cheta samutkantate. The same as Sadhguru Swami's. I think that's called Vasant Tilak Chandas. I think so. Oh friend, that beautiful lover who stole my youth is now here. These are the same pleasant nights of Chaitra Mas. Sound familiar? This now it's not, now it's Vaishak, but it was Chaitra. With the same fragrance of blossoming Malati flowers and the same cool, gentle, fragrant breeze from the Kadamba trees. I am also the same and he is the same. Nonetheless, my mind is eager for amorous play at the foot of the Vaitasi tree on the bank of the river Reva. So Reva is some river in Bihar or something. So then Rupa Goswami, he understood this, and then he wrote this. It's a different chandas, it looks like. Priya soyam Krishna sahachari kurukshetra militas tataham sarara taridam ubayo sangamasukam sangamasukam tatapyanta kelan madura murali panchama juche mano me kalindi pulina vipanaya sprihayati. Radharani is meeting Krishna, Dwarkadisha, Kurukshetra. Oh, Sakhi, today at Kurukshetra, I met my same Pranapriya, Krishna. Remember I said Pranapati? Mora Pranapati? I am the same Radha, and there is also happiness in our meeting. I'm very happy to meet Krishna, Dwarkadisha. But nevertheless, I deeply yearned for Vrindavan, for the kunjas on the bank of the Kalindi that is inundated by bliss as a result of Krishna vibrating the fifth note of his playful murali. Panchama Juche. Madura Murali Panchama Juche. And before that it says Sangama Sukham. So Sangama Sukham in this verse by Rupa Goswami is the same as the Surata Vyapara. Surata Vyapara Lila Vido. Erotic intimate love. As Sangama, we say Saru Sangha. But Sangha and Sangam, Sangam is a Sanskrit word which means the union of man and woman. So that's Sukham. Sangha, Sangama Sukham. So, and then Panchama Juche, Murali Panchama Juche, the fifth note. So, you know music? Sa, Re, Ga, Pa, Da, Ni, Sa. So this flute is playing this sound, and this is this Murali Panchama Juche. So the Murali, when Krishna plays the Murali, of course, is a gopi, feminine. Madura Murali Panchama Juche, Anta Kelan. Sangamasukam. So Sangamasukam, Radha and Krishna are enjoying the most intimate ecstasies of being together intimately. And that was all brought about, that madhurya, that sweet meeting was brought about by the murali. Because the murali, Krishna plays the murali flute at night, and the fifth note, the panchama juche, the fifth note of the flute, That sound and that pitch is the sound of the intimate sounds that are made when man and woman are enjoying, to put it mildly like that. So this is a very deep and intimate understanding, and this is what was being spoken by Lord Chaitanya indirectly by quoting this famous, apparently famous, love poem that he had learned. Rupa Goswami kind of transcendentalized it and mentioned Krishna and Yamuna instead of the lover, the random lover, and the Reva River. So the question was saying there's certain maybe mundane writings, songs, or poetries. As we see the example of Lord Chaitanya, was very much anukulya, nourishing and deepening his spiritual experience of his and tasting of his rasa and love with Krishna. So how does this apply to the sadhaka? When can he or she utilize various songs or poems that may have a mundane material origin, and how can they be used as favorable practices for the Raghunuga Bhakti? Yeah? So that kind of intuition, it can be derived in two ways. Acharya Chaitya Vapusha. Acharya Chaitya Vapusha. 11th canto says that Krishna appears as the Acharya externally and internally as a Chaitya Vapu, the form of the Supersoul. So one who's practicing, when he sees something, he or she sees some poem that may be mundane, he will understand that this is actually Anukulya. When I remember this or repeat this, it fully submerges my mind in my own sthayirati, my own relationship with Radha and Krishna and gopis. So that will be the, then there's sankalp, there's acceptance, sankalp vikalp. You accept things and reject things on the basis of how they are anukulya for my bhajan. So the, as you were hearing, maybe from your Gurudev, so the lead for this concept is right here in these verses, Lord Chaitanya. So the, that's one way, it's just the internal confirmation by the Chaitanya Guru that yes, this is favorable, and this nourish, you can feel and experience, it's deepening my feelings and nourishing my feelings towards Radha Krishna to remember this. And of course the obvious other way to confirm the validity of this particular song or poem which one may want to incorporate in their bhajan is to ask Gurudev, I'm thinking of this and that. Like for example, someone may go to their Gurudev and say, there's a very famous song written by Lord Shiva, spoken by Lord Shiva to Parvati in glorification of Radharani, Munindra, this Radha Kripa Kataksha. Is that, and he may not know, he may think it's favorable. So he'll go to his guru and Gurudev and say, is this favorable for Raghunuga Bhakti, for developing Gopi Bhav? It seems a nice prayer to Radharani. So the guru may say, no, this is not very anukulya, although it's very nice and very sweet about Radharani. And then, so then the disciple, on the basis of the guru's input, then he'll let that one go, as nice as it may be. And now, or the guru, because gurus may have a different idea, the guru might say, no, this is good for you. So one, when you go to the guru, and the guru says, and you say, Gurudev, why is this Radha Kripa Kataksha not so favorable for my bhakti, my ragmarg? So the guru will say, oh, there's so much, you know, there's some Madhurya Bhava, there's Aishwarya Bhava here, because it, in the last verses, it explains about that this, you recite this prayer, and there's a shuti fall, there's a benediction or benefit, that you'll get karma nashanam, tri karma nashanam, that all your karmas, different karmas, will be destroyed by the power of this prayer and the mercy of Radharani. And then, so you see this is karma kanda, this is like prayaschitta, atonement. You have this problem, you have these sins or these sinful reactions you're suffering from, well, you perform this brat or chant this stotram or chant this prayer, then you become free. So he'll say, no, this is not good for Ragmarg. Another guru, he'll say, well, Gurudev, someone told me that this is not favorable because it's karma kanda. You know, that it's promising these things. Then the guru will say, no, it's favorable. You should chant this prayer because that's the whole point. Because you're too much, you're karma bandhana. You're totally bound by your karma. And moreover, because the first guru will say, oh, this prayer is Aishwarya. This is not Madhurya Mayi. This is Aishwarya Mayi. This is full of Aishwarya. That Radharani is Akeshri, Sudeshri, Triveda Bharatishri. This is all Aishwarya. She's a Bharatishri. Bharati means Saraswati, the knowledge goddess of knowledge. So Radharani is the supreme goddess of all knowledge. She's Siddheshwari. She's Riddhi, Riddhi, Siddhi, Sat Padangali, Nake, Kadak. They're all Riddhi and Siddhi. Riddhi means wealth, and Siddhi means perfection, material, yogic, mystic cities and perfections, or the perfection of prema. So these are all, these are material things, and not, they're not helpful. These are all glorifying Radharani's Aishwarya Vichara. But what about her sweetness? But it also has so many sweet verses. So if you analyze the prayer, there's about 12 verses in the essential prayer and so many benedictory blessings, shruti phala, many. But the 12 essential prayers, about, I looked at it once, 10 of them are totally Madhurya, and 2 of them are like that. And actually, if you look at other prayers that by Rupa Goswami or Raghunath Das, many times there is some kind of benediction in the prayer itself. Anyone recites this prayer will become dear to Radha and Krishna, like this. And Rupa Goswami's Savamala. There's some blessing. So this is an example where one would either understand intuitively that such a prayer is favorable or unfavorable, or the guru would give the guidance. So that's how I would respond to it. It's amazing because I've discussed this prayer with different teachers and have different... And they're both Raghunuru Bhaktas and both Acharyas, and they have completely different views of the same prayer. It's just beautiful diversity, unity and diversity. So somehow when one is at the feet, lotus feet of the guru, then that is the guru that he's supposed to have. And so the guru is the gift of Krishna, and Krishna is the gift of the guru. It can't but be. Krishna gives the guru and guru gives the Krishna. We know that. We all sing it every day. Right? Yasya prasada bhagavat prasada. Yasya prasada nagati katopi. Oh, Krishna, by your mercy I have guru, and by guru's mercy I'll attain Krishna. That's all I can think how to answer this question. I'm sure there's many more answers. And another point is that, like, Lord Chaitanya is saying this prayer, and he's seeing it, it's fully supportive and favorable to his Mahabhav, his transcendental, ecstatic, divine love, the mood of Radharani. And someone else listening to it doesn't have that adhikar that he has, say, oh, what is this? So the individual devotee, at this point is also, I mentioned the guru giving the idea. But at a certain point, every devotee has a certain relationship with the ever-present guru in the heart, who's in two forms. The Diksha Guru is always present in the heart, of the surrendered, the Sharanagati Shishya, and Paramatma is there, Chaitya Vapusha. So therefore, when he contacts something, even without personally, externally meeting the guru from the super soul, they'll say, this is helping my devotion. And someone else will say, what is this? You know, what are you seeing? What are you doing? What is that? And I said, don't worry. It's internal confirmation. Like some devotee, he may get a little Shiva Linga. And he puts Shiva Linga on the altar. But what is the sport here? What is the understanding he has? And all the other god brothers, they don't have the Shiva Linga. But he has a Shiva Linga. So the other god brothers come, oh, what is this Shiva Linga? You know, this thing, this is not right, this, that. So it can be, because these many things are involved in how people approach the Lord. Previous lifetimes and previous practices and previous sanskaras and different degrees of mercy from Krishna. It's a very dynamic and complicated. It's simple, it's also very simple. We just say, chant Hare Krishna, be happy. It's simple. It's true, it's simple, but it's also very complex. I think sincerity always gives a clear answer. Sincerity and what, you know, I remember once there was a big class and the guru gave class, and then he finished the class and he said, I will entertain any questions on Siddhanta or Sadhana, but I don't want any questions that begin with how to become humble, how to become sincere, how to chant Hare Krishna, how to be a good devotee, how to be steady in Krishna Bhakti. And then he said, the answer to all how questions is chant Hare Krishna. That's the bottom line everywhere.